Let's turn together now back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 for our sermon text this morning from verse 20. Well, I almost forgot. There was actually one passage I wanted us to read before we got to Ephesians. So turn with me first to the book of Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans, chapter 1. If you look at the title of the sermon this morning, it's From Thankless to Thankful. From Thankless to Thankful. And if you want to think about it this way, when we read from Romans, chapter 1, we'll be considering the theme of thankless. And then when we read from our verse in Ephesians, chapter 5, we'll be considering the theme of thankful. So Romans, chapter 1, thankless. And then Ephesians, chapter 5, thankful. And we'll be reading, first of all, from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Let's hear the word of our God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now let's turn together to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. And our sermon text this morning will be verse 20. I'd like us to back up a little bit and begin reading from verse 18. And so let's read together now from God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together briefly now as we seek the face of our God in the preaching and sharing of His Word. Let's pray to Him. Our God and our Father, we rejoice this morning that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. We praise You and we thank You that You have revealed Yourself such that we can know You and to know what You desire of us. And You have revealed to us even the one way of salvation in Jesus Christ, Your Son. And so, Father, we pray that Your Word would indeed bear fruit for the glory of Christ in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would take your word and plant your word deeply within our hearts and cause fruit to come forth for the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, the general theme of our verse and therefore of our sermon this morning is thanksgiving. Remember again the first two words of our verse there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. And so what better place to start our discussion than the national holiday that we observe as a nation every year that is devoted to this very theme. That holiday being, of course, Thanksgiving. Our national day of Thanksgiving. Every year, the President of the United States of America declares the fourth Thursday of November to be a national day of Thanksgiving. And I know we're talking about Thanksgiving 4 months early, but try to get into the mood with me. There you are at the table with family and friends, and the rich aroma of turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and green beans and whatever else wafting through the house, and everyone is laughing and carrying on and having a wonderful time. And very often in homes across the country, the table discussion will turn to the things that we are thankful for. The things that we are thankful for. In many homes, it is a yearly tradition to go around the table and share with one another something that each person is thankful for. And round we go, publicly confessing what we are thankful for. I wonder what would happen if one year little Jimmy has a grand epiphany. What if one year, and let's say our hypothetical little Jimmy is 12 years old, what if one year something dawns on little Jimmy as everyone is going around the table sharing what they are thankful for? And when it comes time for little Jimmy to share, instead, he points everyone to what we might call the big white elephant standing in the corner of the room. What if little Jimmy were to say something like this? You know, every year we talk about the things that we are thankful for. But who are we thankful to? If today is a day of thanksgiving, doesn't that mean that we should be giving thanks to someone on account of the things for which we are thankful? To whom are we giving thanks? Dad, you said that you were thankful that Mom made it through her cancer treatments and that the disease is now in remission. Mom, you said you were thankful for all of the loving support that you've received. Big sis, you said you were thankful that your relationships with family and friends have deepened so much this past year. And I'm so very thankful for all of these things too, but I'm confused. If today is a day of giving thanks, to whom should we actually be giving thanks for all of these wonderful things that we are thankful for? Well, as you can tell, little Jimmy is a rather precocious 12-year-old. But if he were to say something like that at the table at Thanksgiving, I suspect in most homes across the country, the silence to his question would be deafening. It's an extraordinary phenomenon of fallen human nature and the unbelief that afflicts us now in our sin, that we love to talk about the blessings we enjoy, but we hate talking about the one from whom all blessings flow. We love talking about the blessings we enjoy. But we run and we flee whenever there is talk about the one from whom all blessings flow. Simply being thankful for things actually falls very far short of true thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something that only exists in the specific context of relationship. Something that only makes sense when it is communicated, when it is given to the one we have to thank for whatever it is that we are thankful for. We don't just throw our thanksgiving up in the air and hope that it lands in the right place. And indeed, there is only one from whom all blessings flow. There is only one who is ultimately the giver of every good gift that we enjoy. And He is the one true and living God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that we have to be thankful for comes ultimately from His hand as a gift of His kindness to us. Are you thankful for the love of family and the support of friends and for all of the pleasant things of this life? Are you thankful for the blessings of health and strength, perhaps physical or intellectual achievements, success in your career, whatever it is that you have to be thankful for? All of these things are gifts from God. And so if we are to enter into the realm of true thanksgiving, then we must actively engage in giving thanks to the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, from whose hand we have received every blessing that we possess. Being thankful for something is a vacuous sentiment, unless you're actually thankful to the person responsible for giving you that for which you are thankful. And again, every blessing we possess comes to us from the hand of God. And so the thanksgiving of our hearts and of our lips must be offered up to Him. Well, let's remember again the context of our verse this morning. Remember back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul gives to us that overarching umbrella command, be filled with the Spirit. And then in verses 19 through 21, Paul gives to us that series of subordinate commands that fill the imperative command with meaning and with direction. In other words, Paul doesn't want us to make up for ourselves what it means or what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. There in verses 19 through 21, he gives us his own Spirit-inspired interpretation of what it means, what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looks like addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. And now in verse 20, our text this morning, being filled with the Holy Spirit looks like giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God looks like giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verses like this, I think, very tragically, often become the first verses that become virtually meaningless to us as Christians. In other words, over time, we still read them, we still acknowledge them, but they do not strike us any longer with the force and with the power with which they are intended to strike us. Yes, of course, we're to give thanks to God always and for everything. Now let's move on to deeper, more profound, more interesting aspects of the Christian life. And of course, we don't say that out loud, but we often betray that is the posture of our hearts when we basically skip over these words in our reading of the Bible without being affected very much by them at all. And so, brothers and sisters, what I want us to see this morning, what I want to hit us again with renewed force, is that you can scarcely find a deeper, more profound, more interesting reality of the Christian life than the one that is found in our text this morning. That a person filled with the Holy Spirit of God will be a person overflowing with thanksgiving to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a Christian believer who has been raised to new life by the power of God will produce the fruit of thanksgiving. And that is an extraordinary reality for us to acknowledge and to embrace and to live and to walk by. That the Christian life is a thanksgiving offering to the triune God. The Christian life is a thanksgiving offering to the triune God. Our thanksgiving is forged in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, who then enables us by a gracious and powerful compulsion to then offer up that thanksgiving to our Father who is in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, such that the whole of the Christian life ought to be lived as a thanksgiving offering to the triune God who has saved us and blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And what makes the grace of thanksgiving so remarkable is how foreign it is to our flesh. How foreign it is to us in our flesh, in our sin, living according to our flesh, we are unabashedly and brazenly thankless. We are content to enjoy the blessings of God without honoring Him as God or giving thanks to Him. Remember back to our reading from Romans chapter 1. What is Paul telling us in that passage? Well, he is telling us that God has clearly revealed Himself in the things that have been made, in the world that He has created. He is telling us that in God's acts of creation and in His acts of providence, God has clearly made Himself known to all human beings. And yet, what do we do with that knowledge? Well, in our state of unbelief, we suppress that knowledge in unrighteousness. That in our state of unbelief, we are so in love with our sin and our rebellion that we delight to believe in anything but the truth about who God is and what He requires of us. And did you catch the role that thanksgiving plays in Romans chapter 1? Romans 1 verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, are written all over our lives. And yet we refuse to honor Him as God. And we refuse to give thanks to Him. We know that God is the one to whom all our thanks must ultimately be given, before whom we stand, and to whom we must ultimately answer. But in our sin and in our rebellion and in our unbelief, we refuse Him that which is His right. The reformer Martin Luther has a pithy little quote. Unthankfulness is theft. Unthankfulness is theft. It's theft because we are stealing from God the praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving that is due to Him. Again, being thankful for things does not constitute true thanksgiving, true thankfulness. True thanksgiving only takes place when the one who has given the things for which you are thankful is duly honored and actually thanked. When God is truly worshipped as who He truly is, the blessed Creator. Imagine going to a friend's birthday party and giving to them a present that you had especially picked out just for them. And you had picked it out for them, intimately knowing their joys and the things that they like and the things that bring them happiness. And your friend rips open the packaging, and when he realizes what it is, a huge smile breaks out across his face and joy lightens his countenance, and he exclaims, "Yes, the very thing I've always wanted." But then, without saying a word to you, he turns his back to you and proceeds to go to all of the other party guests and exclaim with exuberance, "I'm so thankful for this gift." But he never actually thanks you, the giver of said gift. And in fact, he never even acknowledges your existence, though he had taken the gift from your very hand. Well, that's something of the scenario that's given to us in Romans chapter 1. Men and women receiving gift after gift after gift from God's hand, seeing His invisible attributes written all over life itself, and yet refusing to honor Him as God, and refusing to give Him thanks. And sadly, that's the scenario that is played out every Thanksgiving Day all across our land. Very tragically, very ironically, Thanksgiving Day in America only serves to highlight our profound thanklessness to God. Because at the end of the day, for all of our being thankful for things, we will ultimately be giving thanks to no one but ourselves. We will ultimately be giving thanks to no one but ourselves. And this is exactly what Paul says will be the outcome of our thanklessness. Again, Romans 1 and now verse 22, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. Martin Luther said that unthankfulness is theft. We could also say that unthankfulness is idolatry. Unthankfulness is idolatry. It's stealing what rightfully belongs to the Lord and claiming it for ourselves, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. However, something extraordinary, something wonderful happens when you are saved by Jesus Christ. A wonderful change takes place when you are made alive by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. You are translated from a state of thanklessness to a state of thankfulness. Hence the title of the sermon this morning, From Thankless to Thankful. And this is one of the most fundamental transitions that takes place in the disposition of a new believer. prior to conversion, we would rather give thanks to anything and to anyone except the Lord. And now for the first time in our lives, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able and we are now joyfully willing to truly give thanks to the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. We are able and we are now joyfully willing to truly give thanks to the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No more suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. No more idolatrous thanklessness. The Holy Spirit, whom God has poured out into our hearts, has, as it were, wonderfully and gloriously put us in our place and illuminated reality for us. That you and I, along with everything else in this universe, that you are the creature. Almighty God alone is the Creator. Every blessing comes from His hand, and in Him you live and move and have your being. And now, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you feel that divine compulsion of the Spirit to give Him the honor and to give Him the thanks that is due to His glorious name. And not only do you now know this Almighty God is your Creator, but you also have all the more infinite reason to give Him thanks because you know Him also as your Redeemer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are thankful not simply for the gifts of creation. You are thankful because you have been redeemed and rescued from sin and from death and from hell by the precious blood of Christ. And you have been reconciled to God by that blood and filled with the Holy Spirit and united to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the Christian is to be soaked and saturated in thanksgiving and thankfulness to the Lord, overflowing with thankfulness to His infinitely blessed, infinitely holy, Triune name. Thanksgiving now is one of the most basic realities of your life as a Christian believer. And so Paul tells us, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is telling us here is that life utterly changes for the man or the woman who is in Christ. All of a sudden, everything becomes an opportunity to thank God and acknowledge His name. Everything becomes an opportunity to honor Him and to worship Him. Because you now see everything in a different light, not the light of your thankless idolatry, or rather, we should say, the darkness of our former ignorance. Not in the darkness of our former ignorance, but now in the light of Jesus Christ. We see life now in the light of Jesus Christ. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When Paul says to us here, always, and when he says to us, for everything, he truly means always, and he truly means for everything. That is the blessing and the privilege that belongs to us as Christian believers. We know and we have the firm assurance that in all the circumstances of life and in all the situations of life, in the tragedies as well as in the triumphs, our God is working all things for good, and He is preparing us for glory. Granted, it often looks quite different to be thankful to God in the midst of tragedy as opposed to triumph. But being thankful to God in the midst of tragedy is no less a real thanksgiving for the Christian believer. In fact, tragedy actually becomes the arena in which the true sincerity of Christian thankfulness is tested. It's easy to be thankful to God for the triumphs. It is when we see His gracious fingerprints all over our tragedies, such that we can lift up our hearts to Him in thanksgiving, even when we are bowed down low in grief, or in disappointment, or in defeat. It is then that the true beauty, the true sincerity of Christian thanksgiving shines the brightest. Because it is then that it is most obvious to the world that we love God not just because He's nice to us and not just because He gives us stuff. We love Him because He is Him. We love Him because He is our Father. We love Him and we are thankful to Him because He has given to us His Son, because He has given to us so freely and so graciously eternal salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, true Christianity is no prosperity gospel. Now, that false teaching is a dangerous and a worthless abomination. We have to be careful of that false teaching when we come to verses like this. What are we thankful for to God? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? If you are, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God does not afflict you with tragedy because you lack faith. Actually, God afflicts you with tragedy so that the beauty and endurance of your faith might shine all the more brightly before the eyes of a watching world. So that, like Job of old, God can point to you and say of you, "Look at my servant. Look at the beauty and the endurance of her faith. Even in the midst of tragedy, look at the way she gives thanks to me always and for everything in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ." And so Paul tells us, verse 20 of Ephesians 5, "Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The grace of God in our lives is to be for us now a never-ending wellspring of praise and of thanksgiving to His name. Just as unthankfulness is idolatry, so indeed true Christ-honoring thanksgiving and thankfulness is an act of worship to the name of our triune God. And so for all of you who have put on the new self, for all of you who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and being renewed in His image, well, may thanksgiving not simply be something to which we give passing thought once a year, but may it be a manner of life. And may it characterize all that we say and all that we do in this passing evil age. And let us pray that by God's grace and power, our witness to the truth of the gospel will be adorned by a profound thankfulness. Let us strive in the grace and power of God to demonstrate to the world what true thanksgiving looks like. not only thankfulness for things, but first and last, always and for everything, thankfulness to God, who is our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Well, let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we pray that you would cause us to be a profoundly thankful people. That by your grace, by your power, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we would give thanks always and for everything to you, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray this in His name and for His glory. Amen.